previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And that guy turned out to be a sailor. He just likes to sail. He likes the American.
I mean, that's like Speed Pass, that invention. Yes. Yeah. Groundbreaking.
So he should have been in that day. They should have said, hold it.
Right.
We're holding a special election, and you're in.
Yes.
So it's at the New York Hilton, which is a, you know, it's a big hotel. I think it's West 56th or West 57th, whatever. It's a very, very cold night.
They didn't starve you like that bat mitzvah, did they?
No. Well, you need to. Do you want to tell the story or do you want me to?
I mean, I'll give it a shot if you want. I wasn't there.
Tell the story.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty, then. We're live. We're at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest, Jennifer Street Northwest with one N. In the capital of the United States of America, we got Gary Braun, we have Barry Zwerluga, Michael Kornheiser, Nigel is here, George Solomon, my old boss, is here. He's bringing a couple of freeloaders. He probably thinks he's not going to pay for the check, but he is going to pay for the check.
Is that because you're a for-profit entity?
Yeah, for-profit and full service. Tamara Graham, Springfield, Illinois, sent us the usual compliment of cookies and things like that. We're very grateful.
Much.
The world's greatest Bronco fan. Taylor and Daniel are getting married on March 3rd in Alexandria, Virginia. Daniel Dunn, and who signs his note, which is absolutely unreadable. It is absolutely unreadable, but I can make out Edith Saliza.
Oh, I can read that, Daniel.
Mike O'Connell from Binghamton University gave us a platter of pastries, which is very, very nice, in case I got stuck, as I was the other day, without getting any food. From Jim Silvis, who sent us a whole bunch of junk. In November, I was fortunate enough to be elected judge in Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania. During the 11-month campaign, your show helped pass the time while I drove from one end of the county to the other. I have enclosed various promotional items, all left over from my campaign, including pens, nail files, and gun targets that are obligatory of any candidate running for office in southwestern Pennsylvania. I've also enclosed a Silvis for Judge t-shirt for Saliza to show him that at least one little appreciates him. So we have saved that for him. From Casey Joyelli, who sent a book. He said, please enjoy, I think it's for Bootsy, Michael, isn't it? Little book for Bootsy?
A Bootsy book?
I haven't seen the book yet.
Please enjoy the enclosed holiday gift. I procured it from a little free library a few houses down from mine. For those unfamiliar with these libraries, they are homemade boxes scattered throughout a city to encourage you to take a book and leave a book. I admittedly just took the book without replacement, hoping it could sit behind the bar between pumping irony and I'm back for more cash. Enjoy the tales of wizardry. No. I mean, you have to give a book back. That's the deal.
Now I feel like this is Bootsy's obligation.
But, well, let Bootsy start writing.
Well, he can share the book that his grandmother gave him last night, How to Babysit a Grandpa.
Yeah, because, Bootsy was over last night. Tremendous amount of touching. Bootsy would hold my hand as if Bootsy were
taken out of context.
As if Bootsy were a parrot and was on a perch and would grab the perch. He grabbed my hand. No holding. Oh.
This is good or bad?
This is great.
That's good. Okay.
This is great. And he was joyful throughout the time that he was there, even though his teeth are probably killing him, right?
Oh, wow. He's much better with the teeth right now.
That's good. From Dan Green in Monterey, California. As a loyal little, I was understandably concerned over your recent lack of sleep, stemming from concerns over the profitability of Chatter. Let's be honest. You're not a young man. You need all the sleep you can get. I'd like to help. While my schedule doesn't allow for a trip to the D.C. area anytime soon, I decided to have a virtual meal at Chatter instead. Fellow little John O and I reviewed the menu. We made our selections, attaches our bill, and a check made payable to Chatter for the total plus tax and tip. We enjoyed our virtual meal very much, though next time for more authenticity, we will get a leaf blower. He actually sent a check. This is a check for $90.
Made out to?
Made out to Chatter.
With actual prices?
Watch what I do.
Oh, he's ripped.
Oh,
wow, that's
the
actual
check got
tearing.
Shredded.
Well, that's just a waste,
because,
isn't it?
Oh. Because we're so
don't
grateful.
Don't want your blood money.
So grateful for the effort, but no, we're not going to actually cash his check. If we get to the point where $90 is make or break, we're in trouble.
He actually did the math. Now, he figured tax at 10%. That's not tax in the district, is
Gary,
it?
Could you pass me that scotch tape, please?
No. All right. Let me get to the show. There are five significant games over the weekend in the NFL. Five that stand out over all of the others. The one that stands out, and I didn't think this.
Washington, Arizona.
That doesn't stand out except to Boz.
You want to tell the story, Michael?
I didn't think this. When I was watching what the Los Angeles Rams did to Seattle, I didn't think anything could be better than that. They killed Seattle. At Seattle, they were up 34-0 at the half, and when you watch them, every play is different. And every play involves three fakes and somebody doing something that you don't expect. And Sean McVay letting that guy go seems to have been a mistake to me. I mean, if you knew that Sean McVay was this good and you didn't say, here, you're the head coach now, you've made a mistake, right?
Agreed.
But where was he prior? I don't remember.
Yeah.
He
was an assistant somewhere.
In Washington, D.C. Huh. But that game was overshadowed by the best game of the year, which was the Pittsburgh-New England game, the greatest game of the season with two great quarterbacks and two great teams. I was saying this to Michael at some point during the game that I believe if you go back 15 years – that the only AFC quarterbacks in the Super Bowl are Manning, Brady, and Roethlisberger. Now, there was that one year where Oakland was in with Rich Gannon. I couldn't think of...
What about Baltimore?
Okay, yeah, Flacco. Baltimore. But they dominate. These people dominate the NFL.
They've been
dominate
in 13 of 15, probably.
So
I
it's,
could look
not,
it
it's, a, it's a great
lazy.
Game all the way through, and at the end, it's extraordinary. First of all, Rob Gronkowski, which this was...
Wow.
He's the... And he has been for 5 years the best position player in the NFL. He is the best. He gained about 130 yards in the second half, made hard catches, made easy catches, and then after the two-point conversion, stood over the other guy.
Laughing. Pointed at him and laughed.
You got to flag him for that.
Yes. Oh,
that is total taunting.
Just good humor.
It's just the most. It's the most obvious taunting anybody has ever seen, but he is great. And so Brady goes down the field. Brady starts with 202 and goes down the field in a minute and 10.
Boom.
I think a minute and 10. Yeah. He goes right down
seven
the field.
Seven plays,
Gronkowski,
yards.
And then Deion Lewis. And Deion Lewis is in. The game is over. The game is over. Pittsburgh, they're going to get 30 seconds. There's nothing they can do. On the first play, they go 70 yards. Juju Smith-Schuster goes 70 yards. Now, this sets up the most important play of the game, which is what we all thought was an apparent touchdown pass to tight end Jesse James. And then they start to review it. And Jim Nance and Tony Romo are doing the game. And I hope I'm not disparaging them when I say what I'm going to say now. They say, Nance says, and Romo says as well, in the last 2 minutes of a game, you review everything. And then it began to go on a little bit longer, and they both said, I don't know what's going on
here.
Well,
Nance's initial comment was, this will
100% obviously
stand.
Hold up.
Yeah, it will obviously stand, he said.
And then you heard Romo, after saying pretty much the same thing, then you heard Romo say, wait a second, is it possible that they don't think he had possession of the ball? Romo would know, because this is the Dez Bryant play.
Yes.
Yeah, Romo would understand this. And you wait about 4 or 5 minutes, and they come around. Both Nance and Romo come around to the notion that this touchdown, which is the winning touchdown, is going to be disallowed. And indeed, it is disallowed. Roethlisberger goes back out there, completes a pass. He has one more
yes,
play.
Yes, completes a pass under pressure.
They rush
clock
up to
running,
the line. It looks like
down.
Roethlisberger is going to spike it.
Right.
We've seen this with Peyton Manning a number of times. He fakes the spike. He throws over the middle. The ball gets batted, intercepted by the Patriots. It's Seattle. It's the Super Bowl. And this is the fifth straight time that the Patriots have beaten Pittsburgh. Now if you're Pittsburgh, and I think Pittsburgh has a more varied offense, maybe even a better offense than New England, you have to go through New England. You have to go through New England. You're used to cold weather, but you have to go through New England. This is the most consequential last minute of the year so far. Your thoughts?
Oh, no, there's no doubt. I have a couple of thoughts. One, I think we can agree when you go through the rule and you match it up with what happened on film that the correct call was made. There was
but
no
you
touchdown.
Change
the problem is...
If that's a running back, it's a touchdown.
Like, yes, and what I don't like is, with replay, when things that happened that were a certain result for 100 years and you see it visually and you say, that's a touchdown. Oh, I actually was thinking, well, they left Brady 30 seconds left.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what could happen here? Yeah,
this
exactly. This could be really interesting. Yeah. It's like the play, I think it's like in baseball is, you know, the stolen base or anybody sliding into a base where a tag is necessary. And now, instead of slapping the tag down, you hold the tag on the guy's body in case he comes
up.
Off
right.
the bag by a centimeter. for 100 years, that was a stolen
what
base.
What I like to call the Jose Leviton rule.
Because he beat the throw.
Right, because he beat the throw. That's the objective.
Yeah, if you beat the
throw,
this
is a similar thing in football where you are examining frame by frame stuff that when you see
it's a Zapruder film
in real life that
crazy.
You think it's a touchdown.
Well, the distinction here, in my opinion, and I thought very clearly there was the one angle, and when they showed it the first time, I said this is coming back. Now he caught the ball. We all know he caught the ball, but the distinction, I guess, is between catching a ball, which does not in and of itself mean you've completed
you've caught the
pass. Okay, so like a caught ball doesn't equal a completed pass. He caught the ball. He made a move, just like the Dez Bryant play. He broke the plane. I was always taught the play ends the second the ball breaks the goal line.
Breaks the plane, right.
And I understand you've got to survive the ground thing, but they've got to clear up that distinction because nobody, even a New England fan watching that, no one would deny that he didn't catch the ball.
Well, you'd be surprised at the New England fan.
But it is the most consequential play of the year.
Correct. And,
of
I mean,
the year. And then Roethlisberger follows it and now is trying to deny that he either did it or
he wanted to clock the ball, but the sideline told him not to clock the ball.
Just stop it. What a diva he is. It's annoying.
But the other thing we're overlooking here with this game and the consequences for the playoffs is where are we with Antonio Brown, right? I mean,
they say it's a pulled muscle and that's
a partially torn muscle.
Yeah, but he's okay for the playoffs.
I don't know. If he's compromised in any way, he's the thing that New England does not have.
That's right.
I mean, that's why their offense is more varied, because the long
shot. Well, they also have a better running back.
Yeah, they have a better,
running back.
But it is that's a game changer if
that
he's
game
hampered
was,
in
was
any
phenomenal.
Way.
Can I say one thing about that game? I was at and I promised my wife I would not talk about this, but I can't help myself. No, I can't help myself. Yeah. She's not listening.
Kim, stop.
Hell with her.
You know, grow up.
So we were, but I will talk about it in an obtuse fashion. We were at a function. We had to go to a place for something that was from 3:30 to 7 yesterday, scheduled at someone's home.
Brutal.
And I was assured. I was assured that the game would be on because the people are big football fans. And let me say, I love the people. We had a phenomenal time. I was just meeting them for the first time. They might employ my wife.
All right.
So we get there at about 3:30.
And you say, where's the game?
Well, Redskins game is ending when we leave the house. Giants-Eagles is on. Okay, it was a more exciting game.
Yeah.
I was like, I get it.
That's a consequential game because Nick Foles threw 4 touchdown passes.
And then I learn that one of the residents of this home is a huge, huge Niners fan. So
you don't have to watch that.
Niners Titans. What? 4-7, baby. Niners Titans. So fortunately I had DVR'd this game and I went home and watched
it.
I know. I said, Kim, I gotta talk about it. She said, No, you can't.
They've
just recently employed her, or she was prior to the hearing this.
And
I said, Is there any chance that anyone there knows the show even exists?
They only have one television in their home?
No, there were others. I couldn't really. It was my first time meeting them, so I couldn't say, can I
should've
go to the basement
the
and watch
fire.
The real game?
Should've
I know. It was a crime against humanity.
Anyway, other games. I mentioned 5 consequential games. Eagles, a consequential game. Carolina beats Green Bay.
Yep.
Rodgers has 3 picks. His teammates let him down late in the game. There's a fumble. Rodgers looks like he's got a chance to go in for the tying score. One of his receivers fumbled the ball. It's over for Green Bay. That fairy tale is gone.
He did not look like he was even remotely concerned about his shoulder.
No.
I mean, he was running all over the place, taking
picks.
Hits.
He had 3 picks, which is not good. And the 5th game of consequence was Saturday night. Kansas City
killed them.
Kansas City, 2 in a row for the division lead in the AFC West. First they beat Oakland. Then they beat the Chargers. And they're not close games. And suddenly, I know there's New England and Pittsburgh and Jacksonville, but Kansas City is a team that at the beginning of the year you would have said, if they are at their best, they're as good as anybody
else.
What
a weird season for them, though. I mean, they start
5-0.
And then
they have the MVP in Alex Smith.
Absolutely.
Then they want to get rid of him.
And the rookie of the year.
And you're talking about Mahomes, you know? Anyway, weird
season.
Weird
so that's all of the consequential games, none of which measures up to Pittsburgh and New England. And if somebody is watching San Francisco, that's a gots to
terrible.
Go. That's a gots to go. We'll take a break. When we come back, Michael Wilbon will join us. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Omaha Steaks read. If you are looking around, we are at what, December 18th? Is that what we
all
are?
Day.
That's right.
Okay, so you got a week before Christmas.
Thank you.
And if you're looking for a gift and you have no idea what to get somebody, Omaha Steaks for $49.99. You get the family gift pack. You go to omahasteaks.com. You enter the code TonyK in the search bar. It's an exclusive savings, not just to listeners of this high-quality podcast, but anybody probably listening to any show in the internet world. Yes. But it's a great savings. Listen to everything you're going to get for just under $50. Two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four kielbasa sausages, four burgers, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha steak seasoning packet, and four additional kielbasa sausages free. Which, if you were in Monterey, California, and you wanted to pay for that, you'd think it'd be sufficiently more than $90 here. But no, it's right. $49.99.
And they'll get it there in time, too.
Yeah, so this is a very good thing. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter the code TonyK in the search bar, get a 75% savings. It's the gift that's guaranteed to be a hit.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us from Tony Beeson of I Have a Piano fame. He signs it, Tony Beeson from Cincinnati, where we burn down our apartments to kill bedbugs. Dear Dr. Tony, Charlie Pizarro works on my team, but unlike me, Charlie has amazing talent. I'd like to share an original song from Charlie's band, Tribeca. Charlie and Tribeca are based in San Jose, Costa Rica. Pin them. They play an eclectic mix of jazz, funk, rock with a Latin flavor. This is a piano instrumental entitled The Calm. This is beautiful. What's the matter? They have a piano. Well, Charlie has a piano. You're not plugged in.
There you go.
What have you done wrong?
They have a piano.
Charlie has a piano.
Nigel had muted me. Yeah, probably a wise move.
Yeah.
Permanent cough button.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me just
All right, Michael Wilbon joins us now, and this was an unbelievably great day of NFL football. And there's any number of things you could start with until the Pittsburgh-New England game, and that becomes obviously the lead story with tremendous implications. Did you think New England would win that game? Did you say that on Friday? You thought New England would win that game? Because I was unsure. Yeah.
That's one of those where, no, I wasn't trying to act like I knew who would win the game. In my confidence pool, I took Pittsburgh at 1 point. That was the least confident I was by any pick. I took Pittsburgh by a point. That's a loss you don't associate with the Steelers. You could associate that loss with somebody else.
Well, it's Seattle. It's the Super Bowl.
You associate with the Patriots for sure.
Right. Right.
For damn sure. And you know, Tony, it's interesting. I have to confess. I listened. To the game, it was like like when you and I were kids, and you were, it was out of town, out of market, as they would say now, out of market game. I was involved with Christmas parties last night, two of them, and so I watched some of the game at the house
at
the first party, and then I was in the car listening to the game on radio, listening to the Steelers broadcast. And it really was fascinating. And, of course, as we sit here now, I've seen it all. But it was just fascinating, you know, listening to the game and the emotion of it and the Steeler announcers talking about the buzz in the stadium and what it was like. And when they come back and they have gone to New York and they say that that's an incompletion, I immediately just say to Cheryl, they're not going to win the game.
Really?
Yeah, immediately. I said it to her. You can ask her later yourself. I just said they're going to lose the game. Then you know it's a interception at the goal line. It's Seattle. It's New England has the lucky horseshoe up its you know what, because they are as lucky as they are great. I mean, that combination is unbelievable, to be that good anyway, to be great and to be able to just take things from people that are also really good like the Steelers. This Steeler team, to me, Tony, seems to be sort of they've got a knucklehead element to them.
I think they're good. I mean, I think they're not
great, and they should be great.
Yeah, I think
they should be great, and they're not. And I can see the Steelers going right out in the first round.
Really?
Yeah, right out.
At home, they're going to be at home in their first round.
They do dumb things. That was dumb last night. It was dumb. You don't need that play.
Let me
run the ball, and if you got Le'Veon Bell, run the ball, and if you don't get it in, you got 28 seconds left. You can easily. This is not the Bengals.
You have one timeout.
The Steelers. You can spike it. You can do. There's a lot of stuff you can do. And they were stupid. They were. I don't even want to. We're going to get into the what a catch is. Nobody knows what a catch is. The NFL. Look, you can talk about the great games that you want because it was a great day of football. But Tony, the NFL looks dumb.
I just want.
It doesn't know what a catch is.
Correct.
Yeah, a catch.
How do you not know what a catch is in the league that throws the ball 50 times a game on each side?
A catch does not equal a completed pass, Wilbon, is what I said earlier. Like, they're like not mutually inclusive anymore.
You're right.
I just wanted to say, as a Redskins fan, it's very interesting to me that now in back-to-back weeks, Roethlisberger yesterday and last Thursday night, Drew Brees, you've seen two Hall of Fame quarterbacks in big-time playoff games where they get with a lock of overtime. Throw interceptions in the end zone. It just cracks me up as a Redskins fan where there's so much hand-wringing about what Kirk Cousins can and can't do and the
who
big guys don't do this.
Isn't.
I mean, these guys both threw away home field or home field playoff games.
They did.
There's a million games. Aaron Rodgers, and I know you thought he would do it, and I wasn't so sure, but as the more I watched that game, the more I thought inevitably he will get them into the end zone. They will tie and something will happen. Didn't happen.
Carolina, to be fair, I thought, you know, Carolina's playing really well, and they're at home.
They're good.
I didn't know they would have the personal sort of drama that they were going to have with their owner.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when they're going down the field, you're like, Aaron's going to do this.
Yes.
And Aaron was doing it. It's not like Aaron Rodgers did anything wrong. He's going to be inside the 30 with time to get him in the end zone and tie it. And, you know, you get what I guess is a decent call on a fumble.
Rodgers looked a little bit rusty, maybe by virtue of three interceptions.
Of course he was going to be,
but he also looked like Aaron Rodgers, didn't he? He looked commanding, like Aaron Rodgers.
Well, he commanded him right down the field.
All right, the Rams. Of all the stunning results yesterday,
Well, because not of winning just the score. I mean, wow,
34-0 at the half. And Mike, I guess that's an early game. Maybe you did get to see some of that. The Rams use so many screens. The Rams use so much misdirection. The Rams have so many offensive plays, right?
That's the coach, too. I didn't. That was less a late game. That was Rams at Seattle.
Correct.
Okay, yeah. Okay. It's a late one.
I didn't see a snap of that. But, I mean, you know, again, was following it. And that's a stunner. And the Seahawks, goodbye.
They're done.
And
Russell Wilson, don't talk to me about the MVP now. Now, you're right.
You can't, Tony, you can't have a one-man team in football survive for long. That's why, you know, the whole career of John Elway, the first 10 years of it, when he was having to be Russell Wilson every week, and John Elway did it for years. That's why I have John Elway at the top of my quarterback, you know, pyramid. But, or, you know, I've had him there forever, and I have to share it at the very least with Brady. But where Russell Wilson, you can't do that every week and survive, and Seattle's, they are done. I don't mean just now.
Yeah.
They have to now redo the team. And you presume they redo it with Russell Wilson on the other side of the ball. And this happens. I mean, people have done this. The Saints redid the team, you know, on the back half of Drew Brees' career. You know, the Steelers have redone it after they had a couple of disappointments with Roethlisberger. If you have a great quarterback, you have to, but the Seattle has to redo the team. It's not just like waiting on Richard Sherman. Is he going to be healthy next year? It's not a matter of that anymore. Seattle's had flaws exposed now that reveal they have to redo their team.
What do you think, and again, when you end up going to Nick Foles in Philadelphia, you're not going to somebody who's not won games for you. Maybe not for this coach, but won games in that city. I understand their defense looked very shaky because the Giants got a lot of points. But he threw four touchdown passes. Are you less inclined to believe they're done, as we both thought they were when Wentz went out?
Well, done is very specific. Done is they're not going to win at all. It beat the Giants.
I'm saying that's not a great win, but Foles had four touchdowns.
He had four touchdowns against who?
Against the Giants.
Then all things are relative. And by the way, I think they have, you know, one of the best backup situations in the league because Foles threw 27 touchdowns for that same, wearing that same jersey.
Yeah.
3 years ago.
Yes.
4 years ago.
Yes.
So I'm not saying that they're going to collapse. I'm saying they're not going to win. It is a big difference to me.
Let me add another team which had a very strong last 2 weeks, Kansas City.
Yeah, well, I didn't stop. I told you I thought Kansas City would win the division. Whether they can get it all the way back to where they were the first five games of this season, I mean, that remains to be seen. They've beaten, you know, look, that game yesterday had some weird stuff going on. So, I mean, the games involving the other teams in that division. So, I mean, San Diego and the Raiders look like they could hang with them, and now that, you know, doesn't seem like the case, and Kansas City appears to have righted itself.
So we are left with two teams that it seems to me are teams that you cannot be sure about. And I wonder how good you think they are. And one is the aforementioned Carolina, and the other is Jacksonville.
Jacksonville and the Rams are the, you know, they are the compelling what-the-hell stories in football right now.
Yes.
And, you know, you just want to see more. You want to know more about them. Like, I don't know anything about there because people don't write and talk about the human element of sports anymore. All they do is write to give you stats. Like, what makes Jacksonville go? Who makes them go? What's their locker room like? Who runs that show? It's not Blake Bortles, but is he emerging as something? Is he evolving?
He's had two or three really good games in a row. I'm thinking it's got to be this guy, Doug Marrone, who I thought was dead in the league when he left Buffalo.
Maybe it's not, though. I don't know.
I don't know.
I presume. I mean, nobody tells you that. Nobody tells you that. These stories don't tell you that. They tell you what somebody's quarterback rating is. I don't care about that. Who is it that grabs that team by the throat? So we don't know that. And with the Rams, we know a little bit more because they've been in some glamour games. We know a little bit more about them, but I want to know more about both those teams.
You must have been gratified to see Cutler throw three picks, including
you know
a soul-crushing.
I think I tweeted at the time, and gentlemen, Jay Cutler.
Yeah, and the only
that's
other
what I've done for years when he's thrown the soul-crushing game-ending interception, ladies and gentlemen. Boys and girls, Jay Cutler.
So the other thing I would call to your attention is, and I don't think you think Jimmy Garoppolo is nearly as good as I think he is, and I think he's
good.
Really
he's
good.
He's 3-0, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 3-0 with a bad team.
Yeah, well, he's 3-0 in a league where the quarterback matters, but he's 3-0, so he looks good. He looks better than I'm Chicago boy. I'm glad that he's doing well, but am I waiting on him to be Tom Brady? Not yet. No, I got to see. You know, I'm not easily swayed on some of this stuff.
All right, tell us about your son and what the Cleveland Cavaliers are tweeting out that you abandoned him for this game. Go ahead.
I abandoned him. How did I abandon him?
You weren't there.
So what? He can go to games?
He's lying.
Seemed to work out for him.
It did.
It worked out for him.
Tell the people what happened.
Well, he went to one of his – yesterday was one of his Christmas presents. There's nothing – I'm in the space now where there's no more unwrapping of gifts from Dad. There's no more of that. There's nothing. There's no Christmas present under the tree. There's no, Dad, can I have an Xbox? No, you can't have anything. You can have experience.
Poor kid.
You can have. What's that?
Poor kid.
It's
for Luga.
You can have experiences. So one of them was going to the Wizards game last night against the Cavaliers and someone who's like, his godmother is Tasha Williams, who you know, Tony. Who
I do.
Works with the league and introduced his mother and father to each other 25 years ago. So Tasha, who has league business, she had league stuff she had to do, and she said, I'm going to take, Matthew and his little best friend Carter, I'm going to take them to the game, and I'm going to sort of take them around backstage, and, they get to – they get the VIP treatment a little bit. Now, Matthew knows, he knows John Wall. John Wall's been great to Matthew, beyond what he should be to any kid. John Wall's been to Matthew. So he saw Matthew last night, and he does photos of that stuff, and T-Lou and all that. But after the game, he's sitting right there. He's sitting close because Dad got tickets, not an Xbox. And LeBron James walks straight over.
Oh, that LeBron. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. I just clarified, LeBron James.
King James.
Right. King James, at King James, walks over, runs over. He was very happy about beating the Wizards last night. He was very animated.
Yeah, did a little dance.
I don't know any of this. I'm at Christmas parties or I'm in the car listening to the Steelers and Patriots, and I see the video because people are blowing up my phone after the Wizards game, and there's LeBron handing Matthew and then Carter his wristbands. And you could see Matthew's face, and it was like, you don't want to exaggerate. It's like, of course, it's like he's seeing God. He's, LeBron's handing him. And Matthew, LeBron is not Matthew's favorite player. Matthew's favorite players, and his favorite player for emotional and sentimental reasons, is Derrick Rose, the first player he ever met, first player who took time with him. And Derrick Rose was there last night. He saw him. But his favorite player now is John Wall's favorite player. And Steph Curry. Those are his favorite players. But LeBron hands him. He knows who LeBron is. He knows that he's met him. He's been in all of them. My son is a NBA junkie at 9 years old. And LeBron James hands him the wristband. And so he calls from the car. And I can't understand. He's speaking in tongues because LeBron has done this and interacted with him. And luckily on the video, the proudest part for me as a dad is in the video is a close-up of LeBron handing him the wristband. And you can see Matthew clearly say, look at LeBron and say thank you.
That is really good. After LeBron had said to him, where's your old man?
I'll get that later, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But that was, you know, that's what I cared about.
So you feel proud about that,
right?
That's
good.
Did
he look right at him? And Tony, I'll show you the video later.
I've seen it.
It's on the Cavs Instagram.
Yes, I've seen it.
Look, yeah. Hey, you know what the shocking thing about that is for somebody who's new to Instagram, and Tony's not.
I don't do it.
He's not to social media. I'm new to it. Did you see the number of hits? So Tony, you think social media is sort of like, okay, I'm tired of this, get it out the way. Take a look at the number of hits that video has.
Currently, 468,566.
Okay. That's Tony,
but it's only been about 12 hours.
That's a good decade
for
me.
How many newspapers in America do you think have anybody see one thing to the tune of 450,000?
It's a lot. Uh-huh. It doesn't come close to your amount of followers, though. You're over a million.
Well, that's different. That's one video of the Cleveland Cavaliers on a Sunday night, on an NFL Sunday night.
Yeah, yeah.
And you look at that, and that's why you get people calling going crazy to me saying, "Hey, have you seen your son?" And I'm like, "Did he run on the court and do something crazy? What did he do?"
No, it's very, very good. All right, I will see you later.
And by the way, Mike, thank you for reminding me, Tony. We need to update your MySpace page later today.
Yeah, I don't have to
do that.
I'll see you later. Michael Wilbon, right. Boys and girls. We will take a break. We will come back with news. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
So this is the Harry's ad. And last week when Sferluga was in here and we got him the special razor, he was very, very excited. Then what did you do?
I left it here.
Why why would you do that?
It was a stupid thing. And if you notice, I look like I've been shaving like Edward Scissorhands. Yeah.
You're shaving with a dull spoon.
So, yeah, exactly. So now you're going to be very excited.
In my bag already. I will take it home. I will use it tomorrow. I will report back.
And Gary and I tested that blade for you especially.
I've heard that a few littles have been using it, and it's well oiled.
You won't even know.
Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price, which is why over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. Every time we say guys, you got to drink. Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys who are fed up with buying overpriced razors, started Harry's to fix shaving. They bought their own German factory with over 100 years of blade-making experience to ensure the highest quality. All products are backed by a 100% quality guarantee. Harry's offers their blades at half the price of the leading five-blade razor, selling directly to you over the internet. Harry's is so confident you're going to love their blades, they will give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up at Harry's, HARRYS.com/TonyK. All you have to do is pay for shipping. Claim your free trial offer from Harry's today, a $13 value for free. When you sign up, again, you cover shipping and shipping alone. The free trial set includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel, a travel blade cover, all of which Barry has and has had for over a week, except they've been here.
Yes.
To get your free trial set, go to harrys.com/TonyK right now. That's harrys.com/TonyK.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent in by Jim Moser of Landisville, Pennsylvania, who says, attaches a song from the duo Rob and Jim, the duo I've been a part of since we met each other working at Hershey Park in the summer of 1987. Roger Cossack just showed up. It's always nice to say hello.
It's like Rickles walking on the set of the Tonight Show.
1987 is 30 years ago. We've recorded several Christmassy songs over the years. This is the one that's best, admittedly a low bar, he writes. Haven't heard any holiday songs on the show yet, so I hope our submission will make the cut. We recorded the Wise Men song in 1996 on an actual 4-track recorder. Look it up, kids. It was the real thing. So if, and he signs it La Cheeserie, So, Michael, if people want to send in their music, how do they do it?
As always, you can email your original music into the show, jingles@tonykornheiser.com.
And we are selling umbrellas?
We are selling umbrellas at the shop.tonykornheiser.com website.
And also, Johnny O sent me some beautiful things over the weekend.
Yes.
The tour quality. I've got tour quality stuff
wow.
now.
This is the official tour label on the back.
Yeah. I feel good about that. So if people want to acquire fine clothing, how do they do that?
Well, I think the Littles have been on their website a lot because I was there last night, and using the code Bootsy, there was not a lot left. But someone in this room has a holiday present coming his way.
Do you want to say who that is?
One Nigel.
That's right.
You're going to wear these things because you don't eat or wear anything that
we shop in the junior section.
It's going to be a strain on the system.
Let me, first of all, congratulate. The socialite is wandering around here somewhere. Let me congratulate him and his wife, Nancy, and let me congratulate mostly Lizzie Bubis on the graduation event over the weekend at Radford College. So she has graduated.
Oh, congratulations.
I hope she comes here to work immediately because yes. this is a good post-graduation job.
Absolutely.
Nigel, you have news for us.
Oh, yes, before I get into that, I would like to give a special thanks to the folks over at the Palm, where I had my annual family Christmas dinner on Friday night. And Eric and the gang and Mary Pat, everyone just...
They're always great.
It's
wow,
always
that's
great.
Really
They're
loyal of great. You.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we tried to get a reservation
at
Chatter.
Not the thanking them, which is rude, but the having the dinner there.
Yeah. We have a huge crowd today here, though.
Yes.
We have a great breakfast crowd.
I expect that Friday's crowd is going to be
big.
They'll be sitting outside.
Because that's our... Yeah,
yes.
I should tell
get
people...
Here early. Get here Thursday
that's our
night
last
for
day
Friday's
for a week.
Yes.
We're going to take Christmas week off.
Weekend one day, because we'll be off.
I'm not going anywhere. Well, I may come in and do a pop-up by myself. I'm not going anywhere because I haven't been invited specifically anywhere. So I'm not going anywhere.
Should be fine.
Yeah. I mean, because last year, for example...
What'd you do last year?
I went to South Carolina.
Oh, that's nice.
I played a lot of golf. I was invited.
You have family down there these days,
well,
don't you?
I thought. Actually, some of my family is going to be there.
Right.
I wasn't invited. I was told I'm going.
It's married now. You forget, Tony.
What do you have?
Mr. Tony, there's a lot of ways we could start off this newscast, but I really think there's only one way we should, and that is by talking about the Binghamton Bearcats. Right?
Seven in a row.
Seven in a row.
Let's hear it from Binghamton. Michael Cole, let's hear it.
Yeah.
We've won seven in a row. Sacred Heart, I think, is a D1 team.
I think they're
D1. They played St. John's.
That
I think they're
Fairfield,
D1.
Connecticut. Is that right, Sacred Heart?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Georgetown's trying to schedule them twice.
Yeah. The Bearcats trailed 48-40 with 9:16 left to play. Scored the last 11 points.
Yeah.
And Sacred Heart missed their last 13 shots.
J.C. Shao showed up.
That's some defense.
J.C. Shao's J.C. Shao is a good D1 player. Not high D1, but he's a solid D1 player. He transferred from, I think it was Bucknell or some pretty good school, and he's a real good player. So I'm happy about that. We also have our starting center is a DeMatha kid, Tom
Spruce.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Up next, Penn State.
That's a loss. Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you.
You don't feel good about that.
No,
right?
That's a big loss. They're a Big Ten team, and they have a winning record. I think they're like 9-3. They're going to beat our brains out.
9-3,
but
6-1.
But it's a very, you know what? That's That's money for the program, and you've got to schedule those things once in a while.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
not so great news for the Hoyas. They played a terrific game on Saturday hosting Syracuse, but fell to them in overtime 86-79. In fact, they led throughout most of the game and by double digits for a lot of the second half, but Syracuse kept chipping away.
Did you go to that?
No.
Okay. I know how much Georgetown hates Syracuse, and I know that Saliza is not here or he would talk about this. And it looks like a gag from Georgetown, but you know what? This is a very high quality step forward for Georgetown this year. They have played garbage in order to get a good record, in order to make people feel good about themselves. They went and played a real live D1 team, and they played well.
Okay.
Do you disagree?
I don't disagree about that in a box.
Right.
But if you look at what are they doing? Can they you have given a glimpse at what this can be by showing people Georgetown and Syracuse, an old basketball rivalry,
absolutely,
a traditional rivalry. Why can you not just do something like that, something approaching that twice, three times out of conference? I know you guys have talked about this with Saliza over and over, but I wrote about it going into the game that there was no, I was like, I'm going over to Georgetown. Why haven't I been here yet? Well, I haven't been here
because
they haven't
played anybody.
There are 351 teams playing Division I basketball, and I know Wilbon doesn't want to hear about numbers, but analytically, they played the 351st
worst
schedule.
The absolute worst schedule.
And that's why, to your point, 3 hours before the game ended, you'd have taken that result if you're a Georgetown fan.
So
it only
I
looks
get,
bad through the prism of the actual
Michael
game.
Michael and I were playing golf, and I said, do you have a Georgetown score? And he said to me that they lose, but they lose in overtime. I was stuck. They got to overtime with Syracuse?
Right.
That was a stunner for me.
Right. But I just think that it shows what the Georgetown program is robbing the local college basketball fan of, which is a few shots at because now they're going to play Alabama A&M and somebody else, and then we'll see you in the Big East. And the Big East is not the Big East anymore.
Yeah. To the Carolina Panthers, Mr. Tony, where the ripples of the Harvey Weinstein incident have now affected the NFL. Jerry Richardson, the Carolina Panthers owner, is going to sell the team, he said, after more allegations of workplace misconduct and some money paid out.
Let's understand something. This is not voluntary on the part of Jerry Richardson.
Right.
This is the league going to Jerry Richardson and say, we could do this like Donald Sterling, or we could give you a way out of this. The league took this over. I mean, you don't hear Roger Goodell in this, but you need to know that this is the league saying to Jerry Richardson, a former player, and not just any old guy,
right,
a former player saying, whoa, this is bad. We're going to have our own independent investigation, and before we conclude it, we're going to make sure you sell this team. We're not waiting around. That's it. Sell it. Right?
Yes.
Are we convinced the investigation survives the sale? Or like, is it, hey, if you can dump this team fast enough,
then why
we'll
are
have
we
no need to pursue?
Well, there will be independent news organizations.
I mean,
here.
Sports Illustrated has already reported, and this is the genesis for it, is that there were
four
former team employees received significant financial settlements. You don't just give away money for no reason. There's something very significant.
Fox News, boys and girls.
The thing that I would, Nigel, you opened by saying that the kind of ripple effects of the Weinstein thing catch up. It to me, it's not that. It's individual abhorrent behavior
tonight.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just everybody. I understand that there is that these things are connected because this one powerful man in Hollywood had these incredible indiscretions and was a total bore.
Right. I just feel like it sort of opened up the floodgates for all this.
It did, but I mean, it's incredible. I mean, to some extent, that to me shifts responsibility from a Richardson or a Mario Batali. So I'm just saying, like,
right,
these people acted disgustingly and rampantly. It's really amazing.
You speak about Mario Batali, the celebrity chef. I don't know if we talked about this before the show. He made an apology, an email newsletter to fans. And he wrote, I've made many mistakes, and I'm so very sorry that I've disappointed my friends, my family, my fans, and my team. My behavior was wrong, and there are no excuses. I take full responsibility.
That's a good apology. Okay.
Sharing the joys of Italian food, tradition, and hospitality with all of you each week is an honor and a privilege. Without the support of all of you, my fans, I would never have a forum in which to expound on this. I work every day to regain your respect and trust.
Yeah. Admirable.
Nice. Seems good. Then he ended with a postscript. In case you're searching for a holiday-inspired breakfast, these pizza dough cinnamon rolls are a fan favorite.
He didn't really do that.
Yes, sorry. He did.
No, you're kidding. No, you're kidding.
Sorry for drugging you. Try
he
the spaghetti.
He actually did that?
In case you're searching for a holiday-inspired breakfast, these pizza dough cinnamon rolls are a fan favorite.
Oh, that hurts the tone of that apology
a little bit, doesn't it?
It does.
The
promo code
Bootsy.
Use the promo code Bootsy.
Don't throw Bootsy in that fire.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
That's a bit.
Oh, my God. That was great.
Some other NFL scores that we did not get to. You didn't talk about the Jaguars, did you? Just running over the Texans.
No.
They clinch a playoff spot.
By the way, all of our experts, everybody betting, lost this week except a monkey.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeff Ma lost.
One,
he was 1-2-1. Chuck Todd was 2-3-2.
Yep.
Carville was
1-2.
1-2. And the monkey was 2-0. 2-1.
2-0-1. He pushed the Patriots game, right?
Yeah.
Patriots game was a push.
It's a loss in Vegas.
The Vikings all over the Bengals 34-7. It saw the return of Teddy Bridgewater.
I just want to say, at the end of the game.
Right, yeah.
I
just want to say this. At the beginning of the year, I told you two teams that would head south in a hurry. And I told you they'd be Arizona and Cincinnati. And they both have. And they're both... Their coaches will not be there next
year. Marvin Lewis has already announced that, right?
Marvin Lewis hasn't announced it. Marvin Schefter denied it.
Team responded well to that news.
But it's likely to happen. It's likely to happen.
Yes, right.
15 years he's been there.
Yeah.
And he's been very good. They don't have
never
a budget.
Won a playoff game.
Okay, but he got there seven different
times. I understand that.
Who else ever did that?
No, I understand.
I mean, on balance, he's been the best the best coach they've
ever also had. That's correct, but he's also overseen all that mayhem, you know, off field stuff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The Bills beat the Dolphins.
They're still in it.
Yeah. And as you talked about,
their coach is a loon, and they're still in
it. Wow, how about if they miss it by one game?
They're in it.
Wow. Remember that little thing called the Peterson experiment a few weeks ago?
They're in it.
Peterman. The Ravens, they stay in the playoff hunt 27-10 with a win over the winless Browns.
Browns.
Yeah, they're
the
terrible.
Browns are horrendous. Oh. DeShone Kizer is horrendous.
Okay.
And if they bring you Jackson back, and if he is 1-31, what?
I actually watched. I watched a bit of this on the Red Zone. And they had Kizer was it was like on the 10-yard line, and threw from his back foot going backwards, he threw in the back of the end zone an interception. He should not be allowed to be back on the field.
No,
he's terrible.
No,
The Jets sort of rather predictably folded the Saints, even though they gave a spirited effort. 31-19.
Yeah, that was Jeff Ma's win.
Yeah, 50-yard run late by Mark Ingram.
Jeff Ma covered. They covered.
Yeah, they were giving away 16, right?
Yeah.
And I know you obviously got to watch this game, the great win by the 49ers over the Titans, Gary.
Good game.
Yes. Are you excited by that?
Country was riveted.
Yes. By the way, here's a little fun fact for you. Longest current win streak in the NFL.
San Francisco.
Owned by the San Francisco 49ers. Three games.
Three?
Shared by Jacksonville.
They went nuts.
The Niners' hottest team in the NFL
game.
Right now.
And I'll say this about Garoppolo. When he got on the field, they had to go, whatever, to get in the field goal range. He did not look flustered at all.
Let me say, I will say this as someone who watched that
Garoppolo
entire game. Dude is a pro. Dude is a pro.
You can make fun of him all you want, and you can take the Wilbon position you haven't seen enough. He gets rid of the ball like Aaron Rodgers.
He does.
He sidearm, overhead, whatever, and he's ready to go.
Yeah.
That guy's good. Kirk Cousins is not going there.
No,
that's closed.
No, wouldn't appear.
That's closed.
Speaking of which, Cousins and the Redskins.
We're going to get to that.
Oh, okay,
I got stuff to say about that.
Although I will say this, Garoppolo's on an expiring contract, is that correct?
Yes.
They're going to have to pay him.
Right. So,
but he
so,
stays. When you find a guy like that, then they've got the money.
Well, they do. Well, let's say he wants the same money. I mean, which would you take? Are you saying you would take, all things being equal, you would rather have Garoppolo than Cousins? You haven't seen as much of Garoppolo.
Garoppolo's a bit younger, isn't he?
I wouldn't.
Yes, he is younger.
You're not going to have to sink $80 million over 3 years.
I wouldn't think so. I think he'll come cheaper.
Yeah.
And they're like a real team with him. I mean,
what
it's
else?
Made a big difference.
Did you hear That's about the power outage? About in Atlanta airport.
Didn't hear about this?
They lost power in the airport for 11 hours.
Busiest airport in the world.
Can't land, can't take off.
Thousands of flights canceled. Yes. It's going to like screw up travel all week, they're saying, because it's such a busy week anyways, and now everything's full getting out.
Well, then it's good that I haven't been invited to go anywhere.
Yes.
Yes,
I don't have to worry about that.
It was caused by a fire in a Georgia Power underground electrical facility.
Sounds like the Metro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like the Metro.
Speaking of which, I believe there was some other problem with the Metro this morning on the Red Line.
Hard to believe.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. All right. So there you go.
Let's get out of here. We will come back. We'll do Old Guy Radio when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is my favorite Rolling Stones song. This is Old Guy Radio. This is Let's Spend the Night Together. In terms of critical commentary, this is when Ed Sullivan said, boys, why don't you just say let's spend some time together when you do it live in 1965 or so. Keith Richards, 74 years old today, and who thought...
Well, had to be later than that. The single came out in 67.
And by the way, lest anyone think they were artists, they agreed.
Yeah, but who thought that Keith Richards would go that long?
Crazy.
Nobody. The answer is nobody.
Nobody.
I mean, I don't know whose blood is in his body, but it is not his original blood. There's zero chance of that. We have a little here from Lesotho today. Not Lesotho, but Lesotho.
Lesotho.
And
that
he gave us this hat.
Oh, it's a hat.
And I was so surprised. It also says chatter on it. I was so surprised. This is heavy.
Yeah,
this is so much heavier than I thought.
Chair.
That's why we lift all those weights.
Real.
That's why we lift those weights.
Oh, that looks lovely.
Yeah. They look very good.
I think that's how it works, right?
Oh,
I tried it as a bowl earlier, but it wouldn't.
No, it doesn't hold the soup.
Very, very good. So did you have anything else to add to this?
Nicely constructed.
No, there's just an interesting point within that song, and I've got to go listen to it again later. I guess there's like a wooden clanking sound, and the producer was trying to get a certain sound. He was snapping his fingers, and he's going, no, it's not working. And then two police officers showed up in the studio and said, hey, the door was open outside. We just want to make sure everything's okay.
Nightsticks,
and they said, hey, can we borrow your nightsticks?
And that's what it was?
Really? Yes.
And that, of course, is how rock and roll is made.
That's right.
And in 5 seconds, you have a large million seller or 10 million seller.
Yes.
I'm going to take a little bit of time here to thank a bunch of littles. I'm going to be very specific about this. The other day I said, does anybody have suggestions of how we get people in the door? And we got an enormous amount of
people
suggestions.
Are in the door today.
They're
by
in
way.
The door today. It makes me very happy. We want to get them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Did you do the free ham idea?
I did not do the free ham idea. Didn't do any of those things.
Save that.
I'm going to read off a bunch of names, and this is just for them. Because all of their suggestions, Michael, we were talking about this the other day.
Yes,
their suggestions are sincere, and they are willing to work for free. They'll to help. Did you want to?
I would just say these names are in no order.
None.
So just none. Qualify with that statement.
Daniel Riley,
any
Jay
people
Sherman.
Intentionally left off of the list? That's what
no, gonna... no. These oh, are okay. all the people that sent stuff in. Daniel Riley, Jay Sherman, Orlando Serrano, Adrian Spencer, Danny Mooring, Rick DeBiasio, Jay Jones, Jamie Ratner, John Albers, Sean Morrissey, Mike Tofano, Michael Dean Kessel, Sage Knox, Chris Bancells, Kyle Attani, Mark Lapidus, Logan Kuntz, Kyle Steele, Crystal Brooke Malazzo, Jenny Hatch, Nick DePaul, Chris Gasek, Matt Epstein, Ryan Brand, Ian Reed, Cuthbert Hutton, Colin Hutcherson, Andrew Ordway, Ron Stradone, Lee Mayberry, and Jesse Campion. I mean, this is... If you ask for something, they respond. They want everything to go well. They, you know, it's like Sally Field. They like me. They really like me. They like the show. They want all endeavors associated with the show to go well, and this is one of them. This is a big one because it's the restaurant.
What's great is as you read some of those names, I'm actually picturing the notes that they wrote and the ideas that they had.
We've
that's
got
how,
them.
That's
and
how great they were.
A lot of their – what's the most interesting thing to me is the almost unanimity – when they say this, do not advertise on television or radio. Do not. Don't. It's stupid. Get into social network. Now, you heard Wilbon before, Mr. Social Network.
Right.
Right? And he knows more than I know.
You get
he
on the Cavs Instagram
One
page,
thing you do
awesome.
Have experience in with advertising is planes, you know, with the banner on back of it.
I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I'm very good
Can't,
at that.
We're in no-fly zone.
So Michael and I played twice over the weekend. We played golf twice.
It was cold.
Yeah.
Well... Yesterday was lovely. Yeah. Yesterday it got up to almost 50 degrees and there was no wind and you could walk.
Saturday was though? Full sun.
Saturday was chilly and breezy, but still, if you buy a good sweater.
And some, where would you get
and
that?
Either Under Armour. Well, I wasn't even trying to sell it.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, but you buy a good line sweater or a cashmere sweater and you spend the money and suddenly you're out there and you're not cold and you're lined underneath. I mean,
and you're walking and you're swinging.
You played good.
I played well. The biggest victory of the weekend was that my wife let me play
twice.
Two times, and we have almost a six-month-old at home. And you, with the ice-lined fairways, are pounding drives.
So I'm
you're hitting it 225 plus.
I'm hitting it longer than I've hit it in a while, and we don't really know why because it's
working out.
Steroids. I guess
there was one hole, a par five, number 12, where Dad hit it about 250 down the middle.
I
take an alternate route to protect. No matter what happens, that I will at least be past him and have a shot at the green.
I don't know what happened. I don't know how it is. It was just...
Well, maybe the fact that the ground is frozen
solid.
Yeah.
You're getting a lot of bounce. Yeah. Getting a lot of bounce. So that was
nice.
That was good. I wanted to talk, and I don't usually do this. I wanted to talk about the Redskins and the view of the Redskins in the Washington, D.C. area. The Redskins won a game yesterday in which they held a very bad team to no touchdowns. Five field goals, no touchdowns. They were a 4.5-point favorite, and they won by 5. So the Redskins covered.
Some people may have lost on that game.
Yes, some people may have lost on that game. But it was a sloppy. It was a nondescript, I think it's fair to say, a pretty much nondescript game, which, by the way, at the end of the game, it seemed to me that Larry Fitzgerald dropped two balls that would have...
That was catchable.
Right?
Yeah, the last one is for sure, yeah.
Two.
Swearinger did kind of knock it out, but Larry Fitzgerald that catch.
Larry Fitzgerald has more catches than all but two people in the history of the league, and he's going to the Hall of Fame. And to me, that game was a winnable game for Arizona, and it didn't happen. But there's a couple of stories today, because these are Barry's friends, I'm not going to ask Barry to comment on these specific stories. There are columns in the paper that are insane. They are about how if the Redskins... This is a really good win, and there's a pulse for the Redskins. And if the Redskins finish at 0-8, it'll be a great season.
8-8,
given what had happened. And so I want to get to exactly the Redskins situation so that everybody understands it. Because my view is not this view. It's not this view. You have paid so far for Kirk Cousins because you couldn't sign him. and you franchised him twice. You have paid $45 million for a quarterback who has exactly no playoff games in those two seasons. There's no quarterback in the league making that kind of money who has produced so little in terms of giving you the opportunity to get to the Super Bowl. If you franchise him again for $34 million, you will have paid him approximately $75 million for 3 years, and you're not going to the playoffs next year. You're not, because your best players who catch the ball can't get on the field, and they can never get on the field. It's like the 76ers with Embiid and Simmons. You have another year to go. Jordan Reed, he doesn't get on the field.
Not reliable.
He's not. And Vernon Davis, who is reliable, is going to be 80 years old next year.
Yeah.
Right? And your offensive line, people say, oh, they got hurt. Welcome to the NFL. People get hurt all the time, and your second players aren't good enough to help you. So the only question that you should have if you were running the Redskins, and I will leave this to Gary and Barry when I'm done. The only question you should have is, do you think that this coach going forward is the one you want to rebuild with another quarterback? Because Kirk Cousins is not going to stay here. That's what you're looking at, a decision on the coach because the quarterback will not stay. This is not about patting yourself on the back for finishing 8-8. The critical games for your quarterback last year and this year, he lost. He lost the Giants game.
Carolina last year.
The two in a row this year, the Chargers
and the Cowboys.
He lost.
I mean, got killed.
He lost those games. He lost by a wide margin. This is not a knock. Kirk Cousins is one of the 12 best quarterbacks in the league. I would like to have Kirk Cousins, but he doesn't want to be here. So the only question about this team is not this myopic thing about going 8-8. It's the larger question is who's going to be here when you try to make them better? Go.
Well,
I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong.
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think I would agree with your assessment of Kirk in terms of where he stacks up in terms of talent. I think, unfortunately, because they blew the opportunities they may or may not have had to lock him up earlier, he's simply a luxury they cannot afford to have. They need help in too many spaces to pay him the money it would take.
$74 million?
So then the question becomes, do you have enough faith in Jay Gruden?
That's the question.
To start from scratch, it's too painful to say.
That's with what a quarterback it is. You are talking about the, you know, pick a number, the 8th, the 10th, the whatever, full reboot of this franchise, and those numbers are high, I guess, in the Snyder era. But you have to decide. I thought last week when they got killed by the Chargers.
Chargers, when they didn't show.
When they did not show up. And Jay Gruden, for not the first or second or third time, but what feels like the sixth or seventh or eighth time in his tenure, and actually in the last 2 years of his tenure, said, I have regressed some measure of which is admirable to lay it on yourself. He has too frequently for me said, we didn't get him to respond. We clearly weren't prepared. Well, hey, man, that's great
job.
If you do it once.
That's the job.
Yeah, that is your job.
I honestly thought, we never talked about this on the air, I thought Jay Gruden was tapping out in that San Diego game. When they scored a touchdown to go down 18 north of the two-minute warning with three timeouts,
correct,
and he elected to kick an extra point, ostensibly saying the game is over, even though they really would have needed to recover one onside kick because they had three timeouts and the two-minute warning.
And what he said was, I got to have players for next week. Yeah, I mean,
right. Now, unfortunately, and this is kind of one of my problems with Jay Gruden, is I'm not sure that he just didn't know the math, and that's me saying that. Like, I'm willing to believe that he just blew it.
Right.
But either way, this is their choice. And then in his press conference, he said, we have regressed. And I said, this guy sounds like he's asking to get fired.
This is their their choice is, whoever is running that team, are we going forward with this coach? Because we have to get a new quarterback. Do they not know they have to get a new quarterback?
Here's a question for you guys. Does the fact that this week, and the same will occur next week, Christmas Eve against the Broncos, does the fact that I can get into the lower level for $6
yes,
impact your decision?
Yes. Yes.
$6.
Here's what I would say. Maybe it wouldn't impact my decision if I were running the franchise. The owner of this franchise cares about optics. The legend of the season ticket list handed down from generation to generation, that poppycock that they push, because if you want to go to a Redskins game, I promise I can get you into a Redskins game. It is not a hot ticket.
And
that
LeBron
matters.
Will give you his wristbands if you're
there. Yeah, right, exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
You can sit lower level but between the goal lines for $30.
And they're lucky that...
It's a long time between wins. It's a long time.
Well, they're lucky. So Jay fans would tell you that after 5 of 6 10-loss seasons, 2009 through 13 or whatever it was, they've now have had, if they can get to 8-8, they've now had 3 consecutive non-losing seasons.
Okay.
Now, the fine print would tell you those are 9-7,
8-7-1, and 8-8. And what is the goal? I mean, when you walk into that building, there are 3 Lombardi trophies in a case. We've talked about this a million times, but that is such a distant memory, an ancient memory. There
yes.
are adult humans yeah. in Washington, D.C., who have no memory of any of that. It's like
there's
on
one at the table.
Black
yeah,
and white.
You.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, exactly.
It's even harder to hear this the Jay Gruden discussion when you're looking at what's going on with Sean McVay and
right.
seeing what the Rams yeah. are doing and what could have been.
And Kyle Shanahan, too, lately looks pretty good.
Right. They're both good. I mean, don't forget Kyle Shanahan as a coordinator in Atlanta and what
yeah.
what
went
numbers
to a
that.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, this is. I think that is the question. People will say that they are 4-0 against the NFC West. They're 1-4 in their own division.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So then, because you have to follow this line of thinking through, if you're asking these big picture questions, then who is next? They have tried every iteration.
They have.
They've tried the hot college guy. They brought back Gibbs, the legend. They have gone out of nowhere with Zorn. They went with the guy trying to, you know, bolster a Hall of Fame resume in Shanahan, and now they end up with an offensive coordinator from another. I mean, where do they go?
Carol Lawson.
I
think she's really good.
She's really good.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll have emails and jingles. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
It's Christmas time and all that. Nativity's out on your doorstep. That all looks real sweet from my other side of the street. Tori's heart goes pitter-pat as a live crash she starts to prep. We've got nothing to compete on my other side of the street. Biblical types will be played by some stranger she's paid. I'd sure be afraid how that go over on Passover. This sounds like a great event, and I hope her bash is stellar. I think I'll keep my seat on the other side of the street.
The great John Fitzpatrick. Beautiful. From Arlington, Virginia. Great. Camels coming up at the end of the week. Camels.
Can't wait.
Camels.
Live camels.
So I didn't get invited anywhere else. I got invited to that. Before we get into the mailbag, let me thank Will Bond for coming on to the show. Let me thank the sponsors today. Harry's Razors, which Barry will go home with,
so
at Omaha
excited.
Steaks. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show, wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From DJ Wagner in Fort Wayne, Indiana, one of the original NBA franchises. Dear Ambassador, if I don't see Larry David playing the part of the ambassador in the next episode of CYE, Curb Your Enthusiasm, I'm going to be unbelievably disappointed. Barry, your daughter doesn't play the ambassador, but she's in the Washington Ballet.
She is a mushroom. Button cap.
You must be so proud.
How many times have you seen the Nutcracker?
So I have
kicked
only
Fred Douglas in the shins.
I have been once, and she has had various grandparents, and my wife and I will go to her final performance, which is on Saturday.
But nobody was there from your family when I performed.
Zero people. I was very disappointed.
From Patrick Patton in Hedgesville, West Virginia. I was watching Whiplash again when I realized that I had been unfairly maligning Mr. Saliza. What I realized is that, like jazz, Mr. Saliza is much more enjoyable when you listen to the words he is not saying. Please extend my apologies. David Brown, Charlottesville, Virginia. Here's how you get revenge on that punk ballet dancer who stole your scene. You get in touch with the director of the Washington Ballet. You thank them for what was truly a wonderful experience. You invite the entire cast you'd like to chatter for dinner and drinks. When Frederick Douglass sits down at a table, you send over a basket of fries. The second he reaches for a fry, you grab one and eat it before he can. You keep eating his fries until he says, "Hey, Grandpa, what's your problem?" Then you pull a handkerchief out of your pocket, throw it down on the table, and say, "Here, here's another hanky, and get the hell out of my bar." That would be good. From Joe in Powell, Ohio, where is Luke? Squatting at one of Carville's properties or stomping grapes at the Kendall Jackson Winery? Do we have Luke?
Front row at the Wizards game last night.
Okay, so Luke's back in town.
Yes, I was just texting with him.
No
I
wristband. Believe, he I was believe fighting Lobon for it.
I believe he'll be in the studio with us the first week of January. Very excited.
From Anastasia Paskowitz, I convinced some co-workers to head to Chatter for happy hour on Thursday evening. Drinks were great, food was delicious, service was excellent. Two highlights of the evening, watching the bold orange man on television at the restaurant he owns, and the other highlight was meeting a gentleman who claimed he was the manager and then, when pressed, announced he was one of the owners. We're in the property management business, so we were intrigued to make his acquaintance and delve into how the restaurant was doing. Said his name was Alan. I leaped from my bar stool and announced, "You are the socialite. I must have a picture with you." My evening was made. My coworkers found it a little strange. I knew so much about the restaurant and the socialite, considering I live in Fredericksburg. And here is the picture. Here's the picture for people to see.
Oh, very nice.
From David Walsman, last week I woke up to 5 or 6 texts from my brother in Maryland. Included was a photo of him and Dr. Tony. He had finally made it to Chatter. I texted him immediately, "What did you get from the prize closet? Guy's potato chips, tickets to the ballet, maple syrup from the guild Dr. Tony belongs to, a Three Musketeer bar. I think it was Halloween," was his reply. "A full size? No, the fun size." That made my day. He called me later. We talked about it for an hour. A lot of time to talk about a Three Musketeers bar. He was kept saying over and over, with much surprise, "How nice Musketeer. You were." That's right. Everyone thinks I'm a terrible person, which I am, but the public
means private. Nice.
Thanks for
nice.
Making Too Little's day. Can't wait to come out from Colorado for my Three Musketeers bar. No, by the time you get here, you'll get cookies or something else. The Three Musketeers are gone. From Joe Bacon, I was surprised to hear on Friday's show that DeMorris Smith got that upset about losing his hat. It's not like he lost a glove. I've lost gloves. Yes. Gloves are important. But he got his hat back.
Did get it back.
That was the critical thing.
He's got juice.
Jen Babish, are you ever going to get a giant world map so Tony can pin where the patrons come from? It's very cool that people come from other countries to go to Chatter. I will hang up and listen.
We had that at the old studio.
We have a map.
What happened to the map?
No, it's right over here. We just don't know where to put it.
Yeah.
Because it's so big?
It's so big, yes.
But it's all the pins are still in it?
It's a map of the world.
Well, no, the pins aren't in it. The map is folded up back here.
Rolled up.
Well, then... Well, do we remember where
we can put it on the ceiling?
It's just a map now.
We don't remember.
It's a virtual map.
We don't remember.
It lives on in everyone's heart.
A haiku for Steven Strasburg. Steven Strasburg has announced that going to the All-Star game made him ill. Going to the All-Star game ruined his body and going, not pitching in it. He didn't pitch in it.
I thought that was
going to it and maybe warming up.
What was the hotel they went to?
It was the temperature.
Chicago.
So the haiku is porridge is too hot. And the porridge is too cold. He is the orchid. Yes, he is. Nobody else has made this claim that being selected to the All-Star game is terrible for your career and your life. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Jesus, am I speaking Chinese?
wise man long ago, with three buddies out on Jericho. We practiced law, we won a case, we drank the case, we got all faced. 'Twas a winter night in 1 BC, I was drinking with the other three. We saw a star up in the sky, we followed it, we knew not why. To a baby in a baby bed, and we all put gifts down by his head. I noticed then the other three looking really mad at me. They brought him myrrh, they brought him gold, they brought him frankincense and jewels. The truth be told, I brought him Tonka trucks, jumping beans, a Kermit in three shades of green. He liked mine better. The animals were all serene, it looked just like a manger scene. My buddy Earl took off his rings and said, "This here's a baby king." He stumbled around and smelled a bud. He yacked and tried to chew his cud. I made eyes at Mary Mom, and I sang her a loving song. We took turns holding the kid, with Joseph ticked at what I did. The baby king just grinned and drooled at all the presents that we'd pulled. They brought him myrrh, they brought him gold, they brought him frankincense and jewels. The truth be told, I brought him Porky Pig and Daffy Duck, Mickey Mouse on a fire truck. He liked mine better. Wishes, fed folks with some bread and fishes. He said that he was God's only son. He fought the law. You know who won. Earl wound up at Betty Ford. Next year went to meet his lord. The other two ran off to Maui. Joseph changed his name to Howie. Mary and me keep in touch. She says she misses me too much. She can't forget, though she was young, the gifts that I brought for her son. They brought him myrrh, they brought him gold, they brought him frankincense and jewels. The truth be told, I brought him Weeble girls, Weeble men, Weeble cars, and Weeble kin. He liked mine better.